Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, we're on text 11. Nadata Atma Hi Gunam Na Dosham Na Kriya Palam Udasinavad Asinaha Paravara Paravara Drig Ishvara Nadata Atma Hi Gunam Nadosham Nakriya Palam Udasinavad Asina Paravara Drig Ishvaraha Nadata Atma Hi Gunam Nadosham Nakriya Palam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrik Ishvaraha Nadata Atmahigunam Nadosham Nakriya Palam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrik Ishvaraha Nadata Atmahi Gunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrig Ishvaraha Nadata Atmahi Gunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravara Drig Ishvaraha Nadatta Atmahigunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravara Drig Ishvaraha Nadatta Atmahi Gunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrig Ishvaraha Nadatta Atmahi Gunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrig Ishvaraha Vaishnavis Nadatta Atmahigunam Nadosham Nakriyapalam Udasinavad Asina Paravaradrig Ishvaraha Anyone else? Word for word meaning. Na, not. Adate, accepts. Atma, the Supreme Lord. He, indeed. Gunam, happiness. Na, not. Dosham, unhappiness. Na, nor. Kriya, neutral man. Asinaha, sitting in the core of the heart. Para avaradrik, Seeing the cause and effect. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. Purport. The conditioned soul has friends and enemies. He is affected by the good qualities and the faults of his position. The Supreme Lord, however, is always transcendental because he is the Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. He is not affected by duality. It may therefore be said that he sits in the core of everyone's heart as the neutral witness of the causes and effects of one's activities, good and bad. We should also understand that Udasina, neutral, does not mean that he takes no action. Rather, it means that he is not personally affected. For example, a court judge is neutral when two opposing parties appear before him, but he still takes action as the case warrants. To become completely neutral, indifferent to material activities, we should simply seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Neutral Person. Maharaj Shrutaketu was advised that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as the death of one's son is impossible. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon Him and do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. In all circumstances, one should be undisturbed by duality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:47, karman yeva dikaraste matpaleshu kadachana makarma pala he tur bur mate sango stu akarmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. End of quote. One should execute one's devotional duty, and for the results of one's actions, one should depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Madandasya Gananjana Shalaka Chakshu Ummilitam Janitas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhya Shakri Basin Vivita Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirvaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today herein we're reading a continuing story about the lamentation of King Chitaketu, and of course now he's getting some relief from the most horrible situation of losing his son. And in this verse, it's like the continuation of what we read yesterday, more or less, in terms of how one should see that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it is the ultimate shelter under all circumstances. And especially here we'll be reading, and of course in the future also, future verses, how King Chitaketu actually becomes pacified in this particular horrible situation. In this verse is described that Krishna is there. One simply needs to have that realization or that knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's described Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hide Deshu Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantarudani Mayaya. It's described that the Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, and He's directing the wandering. He's directing us. We do so much wandering in this material world. And Krishna, as the Supreme Lord, He's in the heart, and He's directing this wandering. of the living entities, and he sees what our desires are, and from that we perform so many crazy situations. And it goes on further to say that the living entity, it's seated within this body as on a machine made of material energy. So we're actually not this body. It's like a machine. And we've heard so many times how Prabhupada describes the idea of driving a car. When you drive a car, you're controlling it. You're riding in it. And it's made out of material energy, iron, steel, metal, plastic. It has so many ingredients. And it has all the ingredients to take you to a certain place that you want to go. You press the gas pedal. You steer it. You maintain it. And in that way, you can come to a certain point or a goal. So the body here, as Krishna is describing in the Bhagavad Gita, is simply a machine. But Krishna is there as a controller along with the living entity. And Krishna is fulfilling our desires of wanting to enjoy this material world in so many circumstances. And we see that in this particular case, King Chitraketu, can you imagine his position? A king who had, I don't know, was it millions of wives? How many? He had 10 million wives. Now, how to determine his level of desire? It's hard to estimate how a man can have 10 million wives and that he actually tried to have, or he did have sex with all of them. 10 million women. And what degree of lust that must have what he had? What level of lust could he possibly have maintained? So you can see with 10 million women and having sex with all of them and never being able to procreate, have a child. What kind of frustration this must have been. And his attachment to have this particular child. What kind of an attachment could this possibly have been? So, in other words, the idea is that he was never meant to have a child, but because of his desire, his lusty desires, he pushed forward and continued to try to have a child. And we can see that this created so much difficulty. It's described, Ichad Vesa Smutena Dvandva Mohina Bharata. Asarva Bhutani Samoham Sargayanti Parantapa. It's described that all living entities, they're born into delusion. This is how we're born. We're born into extreme delusion. And by this delusion, we have to overcome the desire overcome desire and hate. So this is the nature of conditioned souls. We're born into delusion. We have to deal constantly with this desire and hate. And we see in this particular story the intense desire of King Chitraketu, 10 million wives. Finally, by his intense desire, he got a blessing from Angira Muni. Okay, you can have a child. But that child will be your lamentation. It will be joy and lamentation. And this is how this story like unfolds. It unfolds from intense desire, because we're all born in that circumstance, in that delusion of desire. And trying to fulfill our desire in the material world, we see what it brings. Here, we see that it brought him jubilation for a short while. And then from that, hatred. And that hatred was that some of the co-wives, they actually murdered the child. They killed the child out of hatred, jealousy and hatred, that they were not able to be the one to have the child. So we see that this is the nature of this material world. We're born into this nature, and we have to suffer the consequences of it constantly. And we see that Krishna, he's in the heart, and he's giving us what we want. Sarvasyachaham riddhi sannivisomatasmitir jnanam apahonam cha. Krishna's there. He gives us knowledge. forgetfulness, remembrance, whatever we want. However we want it, he'll give it to you. But you see that if our desire is so intense to enjoy this material world, Krishna will give it, just like King Chitraketu. 10 million wives he received. I know that some of us are just asking for one. We don't want 10 million. Can I just have one wife? And I'll be happy. But the point here is that even with one or 10 million, the situation remains the same. And that is that we have this intense desire. And from that desire is what creates so many difficulty for us. This difficulty is insurmountable. We see that because of our attachment to this body, we have to suffer so many consequences. The kleshas, amiyatma, and adibhautik, and adidaivik, the three kleshas. We're suffering from these things. From our own body we suffer. We suffer from other bodies, other living entities. We suffer from higher causes, the daivas, the demigods, material nature. What to speak of our six senses, the mind, and what to speak of our desire just to want to enjoy. So we're suffering in so many circumstances, in so many ways. And we see that these particular desires, they create so many problems for us in life. Sometimes we may desire to have a position or some control. And we see that if that desire is misused, it can bring so many difficulties to us. So much suffering. We see all the time some big, big figure, politician, powerful person. And because of desire, like everyone I'm sure has heard about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California. Big man, powerful man, physically, mentally strong, rich, famous, married to a beautiful wife, famous wife, but still couldn't overcome his desire, and you know, had a relationship with his housewife, maid. So we see that these desires are very deep and very powerful, and they create so much difficulty. So now, what's his position? Very precarious position. He became infamous now. And even though so powerful and everything, now infamous. So we see that that's the situation with us. When we surrender to these desires, these horrible desires, that yes, we may have some position, we may be very powerful, and we may be very whatever. But when we surrender to these desires of the body, of the senses, of the mind, and they're against the wishes of the Supreme Lord, then we'll become infamous. And it's very, very important in the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness to be careful with that. We should be careful with each other because we don't know who we're actually dealing with. We don't know. We may think that we have a lot of ability, knowledge, and we may think that we know more than this devotee or that devotee, and I'm better, and I know I'm more organized, I'm more sincere, I'm more surrendered, so get out of my way. And, you know, you're causing me a difficulty. I can't get my service done because I'm better than you. This kind of mentality is very dangerous. We don't know what this can bring upon us. And we should be very careful how and what we do with each other in the execution of our Krishna conscious life. Otherwise, our desires can create so much havoc for us. And we may have to suffer some consequences. Not may, we will have to suffer the consequences of our actions. And especially we should be very careful how we deal with the senior devotees in the temple as a community. We should be very careful. Especially we should be careful how you treat a Prabhupada disciple. Very careful. Especially those that have given their life to Krishna consciousness, who are still absorbed in the mission and the execution of Prabhupada's desire. We're very, very cautious how we integrate ourselves with this, how we see them, and how and what we do in our interaction with these devotees. They're not ordinary. We know that anyone that comes to Krishna consciousness, it's not an ordinary soul. Not an ordinary soul. And what to speak of a devotee who sincerely executed their service for 40 years in Krishna consciousness, serving the mission of the spiritual master. And all of a sudden, you're here for 4 or 5 years and you think that you know more. Or that you're better because you've been trained at this university, that university, or you've had experiences, this or that. We have no idea. We have no idea whatsoever what that means. So we should be very careful in the execution of how we go forward in a society of devotees. And we should serve those devotees. This is what I was always trained when I was a new devotee. We should serve the senior devotees. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every time you see someone who's a Prabhupada disciple and they're out there doing all kinds of nonsense, that you serve them. You respect them because they're very fortunate to have the supreme Srila Prabhupada as their spiritual master. But what I'm speaking about is devotees that are actually executing their service, who are diligently serving Prabhupada's mission. Especially those, you should be very careful how you deal with them. And then you'll learn how to deal with the other devotees in turn. And I'm saying this because here in this particular pastime, we see that he had so many queens, 10 million queens. But you can see that they didn't know how to properly respect each other to the point where they actually killed the son, the only son of the king. So we ourselves should be very careful. Srila Prabhupada gave us this Krishna consciousness movement. It is the panacea for society, for the world. If we don't understand how to properly execute that service in the association, we ourselves will become offensive. We'll become envious of each other. Prabhupada said that if you put a bundle of sticks together, it's very difficult to break. If you take one stick out, then it'll just snap. So Krishna consciousness, it exists because of that bundle of sticks. This is how Krishna consciousness goes forward. It's not that you come in and become your independent agent. You know, you get some responsibility and all of a sudden you're an independent agent. Now, you know, you figured it all out. You're independent. No. We're like a bundle of sticks. We work with each other. We serve each other. We support each other. And the way that that exists is like in a family. You know, there's the father, there's the mother, there's the family, there's children. How do they stick together? Because they really try to serve the father and mother. This is what it means. This is what a family is about. And we have to learn this. You know, we can be an upstart child and we can do so many crazy things. But you see that in Krishna consciousness, we have to learn how to control our desires. And we have to learn how to become part of the family in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we get sucked up in this whole modes of material nature. Daivahi eshu guna mayima mamaya duratyaya mam eva ye papajante mayam mitam tarantite. That the three modes of material nature, they're divine. They're not just ordinary. They're the divine energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They come from Krishna directly. And they're meant to deal with the conditioned souls. And this goodness, passion, and ignorance, it's almost insurmountable to overpass, to overcome this. It's beyond our capacity. But Krishna says that if you surrender to me, you'll cross over easily. Very easy. And this is what Krishna consciousness is about. How to surrender Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam saranam braja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I'll protect you. That takes faith. Shraddha. We have to have faith. And faith is developed by the association of devotees. By living in the association of devotees. This is how faith is developed. And by the association of devotees, it's strengthened. It becomes powerful. And one can accomplish wonderful things. And what is that accomplishment? One can get out of delusion, of this delusion of desire and this delusion of hate, which are all focused on the bodily platform of life. And this is our biggest enemy, this bodily consciousness, thinking who we are and what I am. And this is actually applicable to all of us. We're not free from this by any means. We also can become a disillusioned, thinking that we're in control. Prakite kriya manani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankaravi mudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The conditioned soul thinks they're in control. They think that they're, you know, doing everything. That they're the supreme, that they really know what they're up to. They know how they have that power of control. But in reality, they're being pushed around by the modes of material nature, of goodness, passion, and ignorance. We're being whipped around. And this is what happens to us. So we should be very careful and very cautious in our execution of Krishna consciousness so that we don't become whipped around by these modes of nature. And that we sincerely endeavor in the mission of His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda. What's that verse? Yagnārtak kamano niyatara karma. Can't remember that. Yagnārtak kamano niyatara. What was it? Tat artam karma kuntiya mukta sangha samachara. Yes. This verse describes that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. It binds us. It makes us totally like you're shackled. It's like if you are like handcuffed, you're shackled. You can't move. This is what working for yourself in the material world does. It shackles you. It binds you. But if we do work for Vishnu, for Krishna, then one becomes freed from the attachment of this material world and freed from bondage. We become freed from that bondage. And this is important. And what is that bondage? That bondage is thinking that I'm this material body. We're bound up, really stringently bound up. We can't think anything outside of that particular realm. And it's very difficult. It's even though practicing Krishna consciousness for many years as I've practiced, I can say honestly that there are many a day that I'm bound up by this material body. I'm seriously bound up. I do, you know, you get up in the morning and you think, wow, I'm just body. And very difficult to override. But we have to endeavor, as Prabhupada says here in this purport, one should execute one's devotional duty. And for the results of one's actions, one should depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is full surrender. That we should just execute our devotional service regardless of the condition. Because if we do that, then we can become freed. We can become freed. As King Chitraketu, he became freed. Prabhupada said that one should work in such a way that the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees one's activities. This should be our motto, that we work in such a way that Krishna sees you working. He sees us doing our particular service. He's attracted by it. When we worship Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, when we do service for them in any capacity, however and whatever we do in terms of serving the mission of His Divine Grace Prabhupada, we should do it in such a way that Krishna becomes attracted by our service. This is real. This is the real science of Krishna consciousness. We should not forget why we're here. This is the reason we're here. We're not here for a position. We're not here for any glorification. We're here to become Krishna conscious because at any moment we can leave this world. And if we're here thinking that I want some position, I want to do something, I need something, and if we're too much focused on that constantly, it can create a lot of problems. It'll bring a lot of lamentation, a lot of anger, and maybe even hatred. It may even bring that. And that would be a horrible thing in the association of devotees. Because this science of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. It's the only means of getting out of this material world. There is no other means. There's no other process. No one is going to come up and give you another process. You can study so many different philosophies. You know, just like if you go and, you know, you can go to like a natural food place or store, and they've got like a gazillion pills, a million pills out there for everything. I mean, they just, you know, it's like you could take like 1,500 pills a day just for everything that is bothering us, you know, for anything, you know, just take this, take that. There's like a whole mishmash. And in the same way, so many people have so many ideas of how to become satisfied in this material world. But there is no such thing. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. No such thing. It's the nature of this material world to bring us suffering. That is the nature of it. We have to accept that and believe it. But it doesn't mean that one should give up, as we see here. You don't give up. We become indifferent to it. And how do you become indifferent? By surrendering to Udasina, the supreme neutral, and that is Krishna. He's the supreme neutral. He is not affected. And if we perform our devotional service to the supreme neutral, the supreme Lord, then we can tolerate the material world, all the pushings and the kleshas and the desires that are being constantly thrown upon us. There's no other process. There's none whatsoever. And we see the rascal society, they're simply trying to kill the Supreme Lord. They're trying to kill Krishna. They're trying to kill him by introducing to us this so-called modern society and giving us so many wonderful gadgets to play with and so many blank checks in terms of how to become happy in this material world. And they all falter, you know, in the short lifespan that I've been on this planet. There's been so many disappointments in so many ways, in so many different philosophies. Just in a short span of my life, I've seen so many different types of liberation movements to acquire complete happiness and satisfaction. Each one of them have become a failure. And we see that it's simply like Prabhupada says, the blind leading the blind. They have no idea. They have no idea. They don't understand that the goal of life is Vishnu. That is the goal. That is the supreme goal. That is what we're here for. And we should surrender in that way. We should focus our life to fully surrender. This is what Krishna consciousness means. Tata rajastamo bhava kama loba dayasche chita itaya enavidam sitam sattve prasidati. It says that once you allow loving devotional service into the heart, we have to open our hearts, and once we allow loving service to enter into the heart, it says that immediately ignorance and passion, lust and desire, they dissipate. It's like there's a fog in the morning, and the fog can be so dense you can't see. But the minute that light, the sunshine comes, the minute it comes and the sun shines on this fog, it dissipates it. It disappears. So in the same way, when we allow loving devotional service to Krishna within our hearts, it dissipates this lust and passion and ignorance. It just dissipates. And then it says that one becomes happy. happy. One actually becomes happy. And this is really the science of Krishna consciousness. This is what we're meant for. And Chitraketu, he had to go through the school of hard knocks until he could figure this out. But he was a great soul because, as we said in the beginning, can you imagine his desire, his level of lust, that he had 10 million wives and he associated with all of them? Can you imagine that degree of lust and desire? It's inconceivable. And we're actually thinking it's simply phantasmagoria. But it's from the Bhagavatam. It's there to tell us that no matter what level of desire you may have, you may think that it's the biggest desire, the most righteous desire, and it'll never be rectified unless I take care of it in my own way. I have to take things in my own way, my own hands, and work this thing out. No other way. No. No. Krishna, he's the one that we have to surrender to. Okay, I went way over, so we'll just stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.
Another example that you